Say What? Say What Radio Show. With no agenda. It's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong.
And welcome to the... What can I tell you? We'll have that for the in-between time. Hi, this is Nancy Hopkins. You're listening to the Say What Show. With me is Dolly Howard and Christia Cumming-Slack. It is February 23rd, 2019, which happens to be the last Saturday of this month already. So, anyway, hi, guys. You there? Can you hear me all right?
I can.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. I've got the volume way up. Okay. How are you? I fairly much know how Dolly is, but Christia, welcome, and how are you? How was your last month? And where is my Shungite drawing, my card?
Well, I was just talking to Dolly about all that. I won't go into all of the...
Details.
But it's been a hard month, and physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and so I've been doing the best I can.
Well, now you made me feel bad that I was picking on you.
Oh, it's okay.
Maybe she needed to be picked on just to get her mind off things.
Yeah, it's absolutely fine that you're picking on me. Oh. And I have been making art. I've been painting, doing little watercolors of unicorns and rainbows. And I've been doing kind of silly work. I mean, I say it's silly work. But like my inner, you know, doing stuff to heal the inner child. So, like, it seems kind of little kitty, but it's really been healing for me.
Yeah,
painting. You mean?
Huh?
What's been healing for you?
Painting, painting rainbows and unicorns.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But that makes sense, doesn't that make sense? I mean,
yeah.
you know, to me that makes a lot of sense that you would be feeling bad, and so why not try to feel better by going back to the basic symbols of feeling better.
Right.
Unicorns and rainbows.
And the color, you know, each color is a specific frequency and a vibration. So I've really been playing with all the colors, you know, the full spectrum for self-healing. So that's been really good. So I guess I've been doing a lot of self-care, cocooning, and self-healing. And then in all that, Rick had flu virus A, highly contagious, for 2 weeks, almost 2.5 weeks. And then he had an upper respiratory infection after the flu virus.
But you didn't catch it?
No, I didn't. I was hormonal and moody and that kind of, you know, thing, but not cold, not sick, not congested. I had some digestive issue things, but I think that's related to my hormones. But that's a whole nother story.
She probably scared the virus away in the mood she was in.
I think too, because I've been getting acupuncture now for almost 2 years straight, I think it's boosted my overall immune system. So, plus I eat pretty healthy, and I've been doing celery juicing a whole stalk of celery every day. And,
Drink it?
Yeah.
Oh. What do you doctor it up with?
Nothing.
Oh.
Straight celery, like a whole, I wash it, and then I just cut off the big lump on the bottom. And I actually started growing my own. So you can put that whole lump in the water and it like starts a whole nother little shoot.
Oh,
well,
wow.
That I did tried that, and after a bit it got started like rotting.
Yeah, I'm at that point where I want to put it in the ground. So I think once it starts to turn rotty, you can take it and cut off the rotty part and then put that whole little stalky thing in the ground. At least that's what I'm going to try. And
yeah,
see what happens.
People were touting it, but I didn't have much luck with it. Mm. But then again, you know, I probably forgot about it.
Well, I did it with a pineapple and a pineapple tree. It started to grow.
Really?
Yeah, it started to grow, the tree.
That's amazing.
What you do is you take off the top, you know, the thing that looks like a plant on a, well, right. you don't get them in the grocery store anymore that way, but you try to get that, and you cut that stalk off so that you take the top part of the pineapple, okay? Just so,
right.
you get really, most of the stalk. Then what you want to do is you want to take off the anything that's pineapple-y, you know, and the lower leaves. And let it sit. Now, the key is letting it sit. And you can let it sit for weeks. But the key is you need to dry out the acidic root. Okay? And when you dry it out, you can put it in water and it'll sprout. Or you can put it in the ground. Now, I've got dozens of them around here. This used to be a plantation, a pineapple plantation. So I've got them all over the place. Now, the key is that if they get something, like you think of the stalk and how it's sitting there and it's got a middle to it. If it gets something in there, the first time I heard about it was that you take an apple and you take a slice of apple and you put it in there. And you're supposed to cover it with plastic, but down here in the tropics, you don't need to do that. And somehow or another, that as the plant starts to, you know, deteriorate, it causes the apple core, or there's other things that'll do it, but apple was the one that I first started with. As it begins to deteriorate, it like feeds the plant you've got there to create another pineapple. And pretty soon, you get another pineapple growing out of that original one.
That's amazing.
Oh, and I'll tell you, they are so sweet and delicious. You gotta let them get to the point that they're yellow, you know? Now,
right.
So if you do, you can do it in your house in a pot. But if you've got them in the ground down here, the problem is the critters. One day I was out and I saw a pineapple and it was turning that beautiful little golden, you know, and this was like 8 o'clock in the morning. And I said, let me leave it until I come home tonight and I'll pick it. Let it happen one more day in the sun. I came back and it was gone. The parrots had gotten it.
Oh. Down here would probably be, I've seen armadillos in our garden, possums. What was that other thing? And then, of course, rabbits.
Do you have raccoons?
I've not seen them, but I'm sure we do. And the neighbor's chickens, oddly enough, because, we do, like, oyster roasts and stuff, so you have the oyster shells, and we put them around the plants and stuff as mulch, and the chickens will come through and from somebody else's house. We don't have chickens, but they'll come into our yard and start digging.
Huh. So, okay. So, that's interesting. We talked about pineapples. Yeah. We have no agenda on this show.
That's right. We're saying what?
Except to have fun. We like to have fun. Yeah. So, Dolly, did you and Russell, did Russell give you any new stories?
About what?
Well, about...
He gives me stories all the time.
Yeah, I know, but he's been there with you, right?
Yeah. About what, though?
Well, I don't know, QAnon.
Oh, well, we've been talking about that, because QAnon's been dropping a lot of drops.
Well, that's what, but what's he been saying?
Yeah, well, I wish he was here right now. He went to the beach. Well, Well, we were trying to educate Sherry about all this stuff. And Russell and I were talking about the actors and how sick it is to... He and I have trouble even watching TV shows now and movies and things because of the pedophilia crap.
Mm.
And then Sherry was asking about it, and so we tried to tell her, but Sherry's kind of like me. She wants to live in Sherry world. She doesn't want any of that other stuff in there. I will allow the other stuff in there so that I have knowledge about it and can share it and help people through it when they're waking up. But Sherry wants none of it. So she listened to some of it, and that's when she turned Russell off. But we were talking about... like Obama, have we seen him? And yes, I saw either a clone or Obama at a basketball game two nights ago, maybe. I saw him on the news, and even the news person said, and there's Obama in the crowd. And I looked and I thought, he's there in the crowd. What the heck? So I'm asking Russell about it. Russell says, well, Mom, he's probably already done all the squealing he can squeal. And so he made a deal because he's one of the first ones. And part of his deal says he can be free at this point. So that's... what I found out about Obama, which I didn't find anything out other than there he was at a ball game.
Okay. I need to be filled in. So, I think I know what you're talking about. So,
take a breath.
Does this have to do with those notes at the funeral?
Well, it has to do with Gitmo, the tribunals, the
that David Wilcox talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's okay. Not just David Wilcox. We talk about it.
Yeah, and a whole bunch of other people talk about it.
Yeah, they've started the tribunals in Gitmo. There's actually what's happened is that. I believe it was President Trump, or maybe it was a Q post, but anyway, we knew that the intention was that they were not going to allow mainstream media in to cover any of it, but that they were going to choose an alternative news source to cover it. And now there is, it's called C, what is it, C what?
Oh, let me look it up in links here. C.
We'll get it in a second.
I got it somewhere. I'll get it for you. And I put it in.
These particular reporters were in a location in Washington, D.C., seeing live presentations from a courtroom in Gitmo. And,
wow.
And allowed to take down anything that they heard. So that's how it, you know, I mean, in the let's say the accepted... the accepted news, that's what we know. That this C, whatever it is, gosh, I can't believe
it. I got it. C Vine.
C Vine. Yeah, C dash Vine.
I put the link to it in both chats.
Oh, okay. And so it's C-Vine.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they started out with a trial with. How many there was like at least a half a dozen people that were supposedly involved in the 9/11, and they've been arrested in 2002, and they've been kept at Gitmo, and they've gone through this proceeding and that proceeding, and it's all really crazy anyway. But this was the first case that this C-Vine was going to, you know, report on, that they're seeing live in Washington on a feed. And then the judge gets a detached retina and has to stop the case to go back to the United States to get some kind of help. So now all of a sudden it stops, right? But what happened was that a number of people had been reporting that the Gitmo was happening, you know? And so I'm walking through the house and I'm going like, I wonder if it's happening. The next thing I know, I'm in Gitmo standing in a hallway. And wow. I see this Navy, you know, like an officer in a white uniform walking into a room. So I just, you know, went through the door, through the wall into the room, and it was proceeding, and it seemed to me there were six ongoing rooms where they were doing this, and they were essentially dealing with people who were so dirty that there was no defense. And this was not necessarily a trial as much as it was a sentencing hearing.
Oh.
Okay, so they're getting rid of, because, you know, they've got the 8,000 sealed indictments. So essentially they were getting rid of, you know, the lower echelons. But in the meantime, right after that whole thing with the letters, the papers in the program there, right after that, nobody's seen Obama, Clinton, Biden, who am I missing? Bushes, okay?
Yeah, Bushes.
They seem to have fallen off. They weren't being seen publicly, but they also weren't posting on their Twitter accounts, which they seem to be daily posters. And the posts that did show up were so bizarre as to wonder who really posted it. Because in the case of the Clintons and of the Obamas, the Christmas, Happy New Year, or whatever it was, Merry Christmas, those cards were pictures from years ago. In the Clintons' case, it was a White House thingy. And it was 2016 for the Obamas. Now, why would you do that when it was obviously something that, you know, was going to be found out rather quickly? So that's why she's saying Obama seems to have been out in public at a basketball game. I suppose it was basketball.
Yeah. No, wait, what? Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, he's a basketball fan. Mm-hmm. So that was why she was explaining that, because and this is rumor, okay, this is absolutely, we can't confirm this, that Obama had basically turned witness and had squealed, that he told everything he knew. So we don't know what happened, but the fact that one of them has suddenly turned up in the public is interesting. And, you know, there's so many rumors out there now, Christia. It's like, but what did Q say this week? Because I kind of trust Q most of all, because his info seems to be more to the point.
Well, he knows things before they happen.
Yeah, like that, you know? So,
yeah.
But what did... Cute. What?
And, He just said a lot of, Q said, it was just a bunch of stuff that, oh, he gave a list. I'm opening it. Hold on. He gave this humongous 2-page list of Twitter's people.
Okay, wait a minute. Did you ask, what was your question, Christia?
Who is Q?
That's what I thought.
Is it the guy that channels on YouTube?
No, okay, you don't know who Q is. Okay, Q is a guy that started posting, okay? Supposedly somebody started posting in a website called 4chan. And 4chan was where people would just go to chat about everything, I guess. None of us were paying any attention to it, right? But all of a sudden, 4chan starts to get this guy that's signing, his sign-in is Q. And he proceeds to say a bunch of stuff that doesn't really make any sense to anybody. But a little time passes and they start going, wait a minute, what did he say? Okay, so all of a sudden people, and there's like a good, at least right off the bat, there was like maybe what, 4 or 5 people that came out and said, look at this Q guy, listen to what he's saying. And they started putting up YouTubes, and then more YouTubes came up, and now I don't even know this, how many YouTubes are up there. But what I think happened was that the people that came out initially and started focusing on Q are probably working for the people who have created Q. Because what we think it is that, it may not be the president actually, putting up these posts.
A group of other people. Every once in a while, when it says Q plus, then you know that POTUS has had his say in it.
Right. But they had, they've done things like on 4chan. Okay, Q, so if you're associated with Trump, he's basically claiming that he's the insider, then the next time Trump tweets, have him say Majestic. And within minutes, Trump posted the word Majestic. He did it twice on two different times.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, you know, in your face kind of thing. But the concept behind the Q apparently is that the white hats, the oath takers, the, revolution behind the throne of Trump, Trump's only a figurehead to the people behind him, is to develop an alternative way of communicating directly to the people. And so, yes, we are being manipulated to understand certain things because we're being played. Like John Kennedy Jr. being alive, that was obviously a set of plays because they showed us pictures from the past, pictures from now. They developed a narrative through, you know, just the way that they were looking at the information, and we were fed a story. The story is John Kennedy Jr. is alive. Is that true? I think so.
Oh, I do too.
You know, so
too much proof that he is.
Well, there's no proof he isn't. Show me the body.
Right, true.
You know? So what you, and not only that, but his wife and his sister-in-law. Have you seen any of the, maybe not, have you seen any of this information, Christia?
No!
Oh, wow, see, wow, that's because this is kind of old. This happened all back in July. What happened was...
dealing with all that grief back then.
Right, right.
Really out of the loop.
Right. Well, what happened was that the president was at a rally for somebody that was running for Congress or something in Pennsylvania. I think it was Pennsylvania. No, it was New Jersey. I don't know, one of those eastern states. And it's for some reason Pennsylvania is, but I think it was Newark or something. And so he's at this rally, and somebody points out, and again, you know, somebody pointed out. All right. So all of a sudden, everybody's looking at the guy that is right behind President Trump in the crowd. Now, the people behind the speaker, like the president, are all put there for a purpose. They're just not the first people that got there or the last people, and it was only standing room. You know what I'm saying? Those people behind any of these politicians are put there for a purpose. And it was really odd that they would put this guy because he was scruffy looking. You know?
Hairy.
Yeah, he had this, mm-hmm. this weird little hat on, and his hair was all sticking out, and he had a unkept facial hair type of thing, and really strange stuff. And he kept holding up these two photographs, and there's a whole story to the photographs, but the photograph, the license plate of this van that he has, the photograph was JF or JK, it was JK, and then it was 17, which means JK is JF Kennedy Jr. and 17 is the number for Q. Q is the 17th number in the alphabet. Weird things, you know. But then somebody points out to the person that's on the left behind Trump, and it looks just like his wife.
Oh.
Okay, Carolyn. And so what they did was a friend of mine, Fernando, he was one of them, he got pictures of Kennedy, you know, John Kennedy, and this guy who we know his name is, what is it, Vincent Fuchsia? But the name means, what is it, victory over darkness. Okay? I mean, everything about it smacks of wow. But the key to this is that when John Kennedy was, it was, what was it, 99? When the heck was it? I think it was 99, that he supposedly died in the crash.
Right.
Okay. Well, he had just been to meet with Hillary Clinton just before this all, that he died, okay, supposedly. And there were reports that after he met with her, he was extremely upset. And she needed to be the senator from New York State to be able to make the run for the presidency. And he had been talked about as being the, you know, to the Democratic representative for the Senate in New York. And so the supposition is that she basically said, if you run against me, I'll kill your family. And, you know, so he was absolutely, just like we did with your father. You know, who knows what he was told. But but after that, he's involved in a very strange plane crash. When you take it apart, none of it makes any sense. And we never saw the bodies. They were supposedly taken out of the plane, but then they were cremated, and they did three autopsies in like an hour or something, 3 hours maybe. It was not people, you know, morticians or not morticians. Forensic physicians were saying there is no. How could you have done an autopsy, a complete autopsy of these people in that short time? And then they cremated them or buried them at sea. I guess they buried them at sea. So there's a whole. I never did believe that story. To be honest, I thought he had been murdered. I didn't think he had staged his own death. But what you got, what comes out of this is that at the time that all of this happened, his best friend was a guy by the name of Donald Trump. Now, how weird is that? Right? And right now, my supposition is that John is alive, and that when push becomes shove, how much better are you as a player in this game to be able to say, I know you all think I'm a fascist dictator that is just taken over the banks, that has done all these terrible things that you're perceiving that way, but I'm going to have somebody explain it to you. And John Jr. walks out and says, this is what the truth is. You know, that to me is what I look at to think in terms of how are we going to get through this without the American people going into complete meltdown. You know? A Kennedy stands up and says, I did it for this reason. And right now, Q told us this, that every day in the Oval Office, they do a prayer. And they basically, it's a prayer saying to John Kennedy, you are not forgotten. You know, it's a fairly lengthy prayer, but it's to John Kennedy saying, you are not forgotten. We will right the wrong. Every day in the Oval Office when they start it up. It's fascinating. The story behind the stories are fascinating, right, Dolly?
Right.
Wow.
Annette just walked in.
Wow.
Hi, Annette.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and like I say, when you see the, you know, okay, when I first saw all this stuff, I started going in and looking at pictures of Carolyn and bringing them together, but I didn't have this ability to marry them together to see about do they match up. And Fernando, he goes and he does it, and they match up perfectly. Oh, not only that, but not about, she was in the second, she was in the row behind them, and about three people, maybe four people down from them in the when Trump was doing the rally. And it was her sister, Laura. You know? And then they get a picture of all three of these people at a a rally in Florida before he was even president. And these people who are not together or look together behind the president in 2018, you know, in 2016 are within 5 or 6 people in a crowd in Tampa, Florida? What's the chances of that? But more importantly, what's the chances of that, that that picture was taken and then somebody has it to show us that this has happened before, to make us think that maybe this John Kennedy Jr. being alive thing is true? That's why I say we get manipulated into understanding a particular story. And it's not, this is the biggest one they've pulled, you know, but there are so many other ones. I mean, Q basically back, what was it, Dolly, at least a month or more before John McCain died, told the date that John McCain would die.
Oh, yeah. And the time, the freaking exact time. And that was the time and day of his death.
Yeah, and he's done very specific, you know, but given, yeah, that's why it's a game, because you have to go back and you have to see about what was he posting way back in and whatever other things. It's like an incredible game. And it's designed to suck in the young players. You know, there's a whole following now. Well, at that same rally, where John Jr. and you know, the two sisters were behind him. You know how you have a camera on the speaker and it just sits there? And everything, you know, that it sees is there? Well, all of a sudden, as the president begins to speak, up comes a sign and it says, "We are Q."
Somebody, I just love it when it happens.
Somebody was allowed to put a sign up in front of this camera while the President of the United States is about to speak.
Wow. You know?
People come in with T-shirts on, and all you see is a big Q. And if the President sees them, he will walk over there and point to them because they got a Q on.
One of the latest rallies he did, they had told people you cannot wear or bring in Q T-shirts. So a lady had cut the cloth so it just looks like a cloth with the Q symbol on it. And she was in the first row behind the president, a little off to the side, and she held it up and he saw that and he said, "How'd she get in here?" And he pointed at her with that finger. So she snuck it in. People are finding ways out to disobey the rules now and to really take charge of their lives.
But Christia, the number one thing that convinced me that this was a long term, this is over 20 years of planning.
Wow. Right?
Okay, because it was 20 years, it wasn't, well, it's about 20 now, it was 19 when we started finding out about it, that, you know, he supposedly died in this aircraft crash.
But the thing, did he want?
But the, your mic is on. But the thing that really amazed me was when it was pointed out to us, let's put it that way, that if you see an aerial photograph of where President John Kennedy and his wife, Jackie, are buried, where the eternal flame is burning all the time. You know what I'm talking about in Arlington Cemetery, Christia?
Yeah.
Okay. If you take an aerial picture of it, it looks like a Q. Because the walkway makes a complete circle, and then there's another walkway to give the flash thingy of the Q, of a capital Q.
Whoa.
It was like when I saw that, I went, "Oh my God. This is a long term plan."
Wow.
Yeah. And now there's another sub story to it. There's a video out there, and it's called The Plan. And I don't remember the name of the YouTube studio, but the only thing of interest on that entire studio is that one video. There's some other little thingies, but that, I mean, the only thing that's posted on this YouTube station is basically the plan. And it's about 17 minutes, and it goes back, and it talks historically about how the cabal got in control and about the plan, and goes into details of, you know, what's really happening behind it. And, I mean, just brilliantly done, in my opinion. But the voice is very compelling. And somebody is, and I'm not going to dispute it. I'm not going to say I believe it, but there's something about the voice. They think that John Kennedy is the voice behind it. And that makes it even more interesting. You know, that particular, the plan. And I'm telling you, Christina, there's so many really good stories that, you know, if we put it into fiction, you know, in a movie, nobody'd go to it because they'd say, oh, this can't be, you know, real. That's fiction. Everything is fiction.
It's, well, actually, they would probably believe it then. Because they'd be like, oh, I saw a movie about it. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw a movie about it. Because that's how they spoon feed us all this time.
Well, David, you know, David.
What, 40s, you know, spoon feeding us, or even before then, you know, propaganda, whatever they want us to believe, let's put it in the media. Even if it is outlandish and crazy. We'll put it in a movie. We'll put it in a book. We'll put it in, you know, some little obscure newspaper just so it gets out there.
David Wilcock calls them disclosure movies.
Well, it's, you know, it's not far from the truth.
Yeah, I mean, they've told us about the Matrix. They explained it explicitly. How were everything about it?
Well, remember that that TV show about, they made it into a comedy. They've canceled it since, but it was called People of Earth, and it was about people who had been abducted, but it was like comedy. But then it had, like, it had the lizard aliens, the grays, the white Scandinavian Palladian looking. But it was, quote unquote, a comedy. And I remember going, oh my God, I can't believe they're like, they made this a comedy. Like, here it is. This is what I've been talking about. They make it a comedy.
In your face. Yeah.
It's only two seasons. I couldn't get other people to watch. I'm like, oh my God. It's all right here, people. Like, here it is.
And it's called People of Earth?
Yeah, People of Earth. And it, quote unquote, was on TBS, and it was a comedy. But I tell you what, there's truth all up in there. It was not a comedy. I mean, it was, here we go. We're going to put it in a humorous format, but here you go. And towards the end, the alien or extraterrestrial that comes to take over the alien ship that's been behind the moon is artificial intelligence.
Interesting.
Yes.
Have you guys ever seen The Orville?
Yes, my husband watches it.
Well, this last episode was about the robotic. Mm. Oh, you know, this one's, well, Seth Meyers is a comedian. And so the show is kind of tongue in cheek, very much along the basics genre, I would say, of Star Trek itself. But the graphics, of course, are modern day. They've got great, great, great graphics in it. And the video effects and all that. But they had a robot on the crew who was a representative from this world full of robots, and his name is Isaac, and everybody loves Isaac. Actually, they get into this very weird thing where the doctor, who's a human female, falls in love with Isaac the robot. Well, in this last episode, Isaac just suddenly shut down and collapsed. So they get permission to go back to the planet, his home planet, because they don't know how to fix him. And they get there, and when they left when the show was over, it was a two-parter, and the entire robotic planet is on its way to Earth to take us over. This is supposed to be comedy.
Holy moly.
Wait, is this a recent thing?
Yeah, it was on. Movie? It was, yes. It's a TV show.
Well,
This is second season.
Star Trek. I forget which franchise had the Borg. You know
that Star Trek.
Star Trek, yeah.
It was different, but you know how they had, there was different, there was the original Star Trek, then there was the one where Janeway was in charge.
The Voyager.
The different generations of it. Yeah.
I don't know which one it was on, but those Borg people creeped me out, man. It affected me to the core. Like, the first time I saw the lizard people, back in the 80s on the V TV show, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, that creeped me out to the core. So you know there's some truth to that. If it creeps you out to your core, there's truth to that.
I watched every single episode of Star Trek Generations until they introduced the Borg. And I refused to look at any program that had the Borg in it. I was so weirded out. Then Voyager comes along, and Voyager begins to, first off, they have Seven of Nine, who becomes one of their crew and everything, you know? And and they really delved into, talk about disclosure, right? They delved into the moral quagmire of, should human beings allow themselves to become transgender and then, you know, AI new version of humanity? You know, is this what we should be doing? Or is there something so pure and so precious about the human experience as is that we need to keep it?
The Borg were on every one of the Star Trek generations. They were so freaking creepy. Saffron is saying, Nancy, the robots also killed their makers on their planet and took over.
Well, I didn't want to tell the whole plot.
Oh, oops. Okay, I didn't say that.
Are you about the Orville? Is that what you're talking about, the Orville?
Yeah, what happens is that the kid who really loves Isaac gets off the ship. The ship is kind of parked there on the world. And he gets off and he goes down this, you know, I mean, it's like, this is not really good fiction. But he goes down and he finds a tunnel, and at the end of the tunnel, there were just piles and piles and piles of human skeletons. And that's how the Orville's crew realized that there was a very bad problem. And they couldn't get off the planet. When they confronted Isaac, he said, well, you know, it wasn't that I was looking at you to find out how to be more like you. I was looking at you to find out how we could defeat you. You know, so it really
shook me up. It's Saffron's fault.
Yeah, blame Saffron.
It's not Mona's fault today. It's Saffron's fault.
But no, I highly recommend that anybody who has not gotten involved with the Orville, you got to look at it with a sense of humor. I mean, what I love about it is that, well, not so much what they went into this last week, but what I loved about it is they use current day humor in the context of, you know, how many hundreds of years in the future. You know, so it just is hysterical because, oh my God, like for instance, Seth Meyers' character, the captain of the Orville, has got a stuffed, the green sesame guy. What's his name? The frog. Hermit.
Kermit.
Kermit the frog. He's got a Kermit the frog thing on his desk. And nobody in that age knows what a Kermit the frog is. What is this? You know, he's going like Kermit the frog. You know, like you should know. But, I mean, that's what I'm saying is that he does, you know, current funniness but in the future. So half of what he says, the crew people look at him like he's crazy, but you're rolling on the floor because you know what it means, you know? It's extremely well done. From the graphics, like I say, the graphics are very compelling. But the storylines, you know, it's such a delicate dance putting comedy in with drama. And to be honest with you, this last episode, I didn't see much comedy at all. It was like Disclosure. I mean, it was like, let's look at this again, you know? Because they spent the last two episodes making Isaac into this really special character. And as I look back, I think, you know, maybe Seth knew what he was doing from the beginning, that his point was, you know? So, but I highly recommend it. It's on Fox, I think.
What's it called again?
The Orville. O-R-V-I-L-L-E.
Yes,
that I can look it up later.
Fox. It is Fox, and it's at, I think it's on at 9 o'clock.
Thursdays.
Maybe Thursdays, yeah, Thursdays.
Yep.
The Orville. Yeah.
On which channel? Fox, you
Fox.
Said?
Yep.
I Fox, yep. Honestly, I couldn't, I tried to watch it at the beginning, but I felt that it was extremely cheesy. But you're right, it is well done because they pull from all the other space shows that have ever been on TV. So the characters remind you of, like, characters that you might have fallen in love with on Star Trek or Star Wars or, you know, they remind me of those.
But there's something always a little off on them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're all a little quirky and definitely, you know, unique. But yeah.
Well, and one of the more fun things about it is that the Orville's captain and the second in command, Kelly, they were husband and wife. And so you
in
got
real life? It,
no in the story. So you've got the captain and the number one, as you know, Picard would say. They were husband and wife, and it's very interesting to see how they try to. Well, they do it very effectively, I think, is to bring in the dynamics of personal relationships too, within the context of maybe, you know, space. Like they do in, you know, the really good ones like Star Trek, you know, anyone. So you've got these little side stories that they do well, and those are hard to do. So overall, I'm very impressed with it, and it is cheesy. I mean, this is not the kind of show that I would think that I would even like. And, you know, I mean, I'm like, I was stunned. My friend Sandy said to me, "You got to look at this. Just look at it." And I'm going like, "I don't think so." I said, "All right, okay." To honor her, I did, and I went, "Oh my God, I think I like this," and I haven't missed an episode since.
Oh my God, that's hilarious! You're so funny.
But see, I look. Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No.
Well, I'm going to change subject, so you go ahead.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I think is it's another demonstration of a change that is happening worldwide in many, many ways that unless you're paying attention, you're not really going to see. Because the fact that the Orville, based on everything that I've seen in it so far, suddenly confronts the concept of AI and robotic takeover is, I mean, this is trending right now. You know, and now you're getting so more and more of the secrets are being uncovered and more ways are being found to tell the truth. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I agree. They're just all out exposures now. If you just look around, you can see where they're trying to tell us different things. No.
So you wanted to change the subject?
Yeah, I want to go back to what Christia was saying about the back of the moon. I've got kids coming in and going, and my mom died, and so my kids are all around. And Annette just got back from Venice. She walked in the door when I said Annette's home. So Sherry stayed overnight again tonight so that she can see Annette. And then Russell, he's going to bring pizza home. So I've had a lot of commotion here while the show's going on. And I missed what Christia said about the backside of the moon and some spaceship. Can you repeat that, please?
Oh, on that show, People of Earth, the aliens that come to Earth.
What show?
It's called People of Earth. It's not on TV anymore. It's not on TV anymore. But it was on TBS, and it was a quote-unquote comedy about people being abducted, but they're being monitored and messed with for a long, long time. On the show, it's revealed that since this particular group of people, who it's like an AA group, but for abductees, and they all have been, it reveals that they've been messed with since they were little. And one of them remembers, and he remembers all the people during a regression, and then that affects the other people to remember, you know, kind of like, you know, the 100th monkey. But in the show, the aliens, quote unquote, that are, you know, coming to Earth and messing with them, are in like this spaceship that's like a square that has slanted sides, rhombo, I don't know, maybe tetrahedron, no. I don't know. I can't remember what it's called, but it looks like a rectangle. But imagine it like if the wind pushed it over a little bit.
Okay.
And they're behind the moon. That's where they hang out because nobody can see them, quote unquote.
Oh.
But that's nothing new because I guess. I don't know when I found that information, but a long, long time ago, and maybe even on Ancient Aliens, they talk about the moon being a satellite and there's a lot of activity on the other side of the moon that we don't see, you know, the part of the side of the moon that's not illuminated.
Right.
Because the moon doesn't spin. The Earth spins. The moon just, we only see that one side, the Earth. No matter where you are on Earth, you only see one side of the moon. Because the moon is going, it's traveling around the Earth, but it doesn't spin like how the Earth spins.
Actually, I think it does.
It does?
Yeah, because you hear about daylight versus darkness on the moon.
Oh, okay. For some reason.
But the spinning, this is why everybody who thinks about the probability of this happening says this can't be natural. Because the spin, like, okay, when you rotate, okay, so the rotation of Earth gives you the 24-hour cycle. The rotation of the moon is much slower. It's so slow that as it revolves around Earth, the pace of its revolution and the pace of its rotation are the same, so that the face of the Earth that we see is always maintained.
Oh, okay.
And that is so improbable.
Whoa.
You know, that's not seen anywhere else in the known solar system as far as
I've
heard.
Well, I think the moon didn't do anything, quote-unquote, normal. And so that's always told me that the moon, as much as I've been fascinated with it, it's always told me that the moon is artificial.
Well, supposedly the moon, according to David Wilcock in his Ascension Mysteries, according to him, there was a race of builders, and the ancient builders, that came into the solar system through it's basically a wormhole that is very close to where we are in the solar system. I mean, the solar system is close to where this is, our solar system, okay? So the solar system has become a major port of entry and exit that we don't see on Earth because we're being kept in the dark. But what happens is that when the ancient builders came here, they set up a series of satellite things that look like the moon, okay, that were put in different places in the solar system in order to protect the solar system from anybody on the outside coming back through that wormhole. They set us up as we're going to set up this little experiment of life here, and we don't want anybody messing with it. Well, then they went off and did something else and apparently forgot about us. And so the world... Well, that's the only thing I could figure.
That in itself is hilarious.
They forgot about it.
You know, I'm out of mind. Oh, we started this little thing over here, and we had to take off, and we totally forgot about it.
Yeah, we'll check up with you in a few billion years, you know?
Yeah.
So, in the meantime, if you look at the science behind the solar system, it's a set of harmonics that's based on the rotation of the planets. So it's determined that based on this mathematics that holds true for every single planet, okay, but when you got the asteroid belt, there's supposed to be a planet there, not an asteroid field. And that was a planet there, and it was called Maldek. Now, on Maldek, you've got giant type of people compared to us, okay? And they apparently were pretty warlike. And they took over each of these satellite systems that were supposed to protect us and instead took them over and began to use it for their own benefits. Okay? So the Earth is a very much, well, if you want to think of Star Wars and the Death Star, that's what the moon really looks like. So on top of the moon, when they moved it from wherever it was, apparently it was moved after, you know, it's a long story. David gets into it. But it ends up being a satellite around Earth. And so what they did was they essentially created an outer skin to it that when you look at it, it looks like, you know, been hit by the air millions of years. And, you know, looks like the moon, outer crust of the moon. But I was listening to, I think it was Wilcock, recently, it was somebody that was talking about the moon. Maybe it wasn't him. But they were saying that they're starting to see angles and stuff on the moon that weren't there before. It's almost like this outer skin is being worn away.
I think I saw that too.
Right. So to prevent us from actually seeing the reality of what we've got there, they've got some kind of a holographic thing that is causing us to see the moon as it was, not as it's becoming or is. And what happened was that they caught a glitch in the holographic image, and that they've got a video of this holographic, like a line going all the way across the moon, like there's a reset to a video. Very peculiar. So from my experience, the moon is an artificial thing, and there's a whole story about who's inside. you know, I mean, we're into sci-fi that is like so far out there. You know, who knows?
So, have you ever thought of traveling there to check it out?
Yes, that's why I'm so sure it's artificial.
Oh, okay. I'm with you on the artificial thing. When that moon started ringing, that clinched it for me. Yep, it's artificial.
Well, that time that I had to work on that person in Finland that had the attachment, what I realized, it was actually a signal and not an attachment, and that it was coming from the moon. And that I realized that we're all, in a sense, antennas. And what frequencies are we dialing into? So that's when I realized that the moon really is not the moon.
It does not have a goddess essence, I'm sorry to say.
I know. It really is a bummer.
It's a bummer. Well, over the years, a lot of people have put the energy of a goddess into the moon. You know, and so, and some time frame in some place in space, there is a moon goddess, but I'm sorry, not in my reality. It's an artificial Death Star. You know, I've been there, I've seen it. No, that's what it is. We're top of the hour. We're going to have us a break. It's Jessica Eliseri. Change the World, 4 minutes.
The rain is pouring down on me, and the sun is shaded by the trees, and the world is spinning at my feet, and I am wondering what will remain of this little life I am living. Is there hope and love that I will bring? I've seen too many bad, bad things. I wanna change. I wanna change the world. I wanna change the world. I wanna change the world. I wanna change it. I wanna change it.
It's up to us. Are we up to changing the world? This is the Say What Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. It is February 23rd, 2019. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Christine Cumming Slack and Dolly Howard. Well, maybe they're with me. Are you guys back? Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Awesome. I see Sally's probably eating pizza. Remember she said her son was going to get pizza?
Oh, yeah. It's good to have a little pizza break.
Yeah, yeah. She might be out eating pizza.
So hello? What,
yeah, see, was the pizza good?
Oh, no, I've messed up my headset again. I've been trying to tell you, no, he just walked in the door without pizza. Evidently, he wanted to wait and get the girls what they wanted, too.
Ah, what a good boy.
Yes, I'm worn out.
You're worn out?
Yeah, I
am. Oh, no.
Between my mom dying and all the activities there, and we were so busy today, I'm just freaking exhausted right now.
All right, I'm going to give you a break, honey. I'm going to do something really special for you.
All right. Okay.
And you know, if you looked at what just came, oh, it didn't pop up for you. Whoops. Okay. Because we're going to bring in Lee Brown. She just asked to come aboard.
She's been wanting to do that a lot lately.
Oh, I know. She's just bugging us lately. So we'll just let her come on and play.
Okay.
You're okay with that, Christia?
Oh, for sure.
You guys know each other. There she is. Okay, Lee Brown, you're on. What'd you want to say? Hi, Lee. How you doing?
I'm terrific. How you doing?
Good. And you know who's hi, here. Lee. Dolly's here. Christia's here. Say hi, girls.
Hi. Hey, Christia. And I was tickled to hear that you're there'd been under the weather near your at your house because I thought, gosh, we haven't caught up again. Now I know why on your end. I am wallowing in puppy energy.
You are? Why?
I am a happy girl. We have a new puppy in the house.
Oh.
And we are able to just enjoy the excitement of puppyhood. And I'll tell you, there's nothing to pick a girl up and watching a puppy fumble sauce across the room.
She's breaking up.
Yeah, you're breaking up really bad.
There you go. Better now?
Well, I don't know. You're not talking.
I'm talking right now.
Okay, that's much better. Yeah, you're
well, that's because of that dang radio thing.
Huh?
I don't understand why it is if I have that radio playing.
Oh, that thing. Oh, yeah, right.
I still haven't figured out why that's doing that. I said there's nothing more fun than watching a puppy go tumbling across the floor or discover something new. It's like a breath of springtime in the middle of winter. I'm highly excited, and I think I mentioned to Nancy, her name is Nugget.
Uh-huh. Shungite Nugget.
Shungite Nugget,
exactly.
Love Nugget, Little Nugget. She's a Nugget for sure.
Oh, cute. Nancy.
What?
Saffron's having trouble with the same thing Walt and I did. She says, hi, guys, I want to let you know that the chat would not allow her to post anything for a while because she posted the above, saying it appears meaningless. What she said was, I want some sunshine, been a week of rain. I need some sun ASAP. No, Mona said that. Hold on. Here's what Saffron said. What? Seriously, Saffron? All she said was LOL.
I'm going to have to figure out why this chat's doing this. It keeps me from putting up scheduling that it used to let me. I don't know what to tell you. There's things happening all over the place that are... It's almost like they're trying to clamp down, and maybe we're just making enough waves now that they're starting to attack us. But my friend Peter, who's sitting behind me, but he's sleeping, so I don't think he's going to hear me anyway. he got a notification from Google, and it said your Google account will be ended, and gave him a date that happens to be his birthday.
What?
Now, the only thing that he ever uses the internet for is to look for conspiracy stuff, you know, the same subjects that we deal with. And what he started telling me about this was that, and he's using an iPad, I don't know if that's got anything to do with it or not, but that he would go to a particular conspiracy level website, and it would open up, and then the screen would go black. And he's been complaining about this for, I would say, pretty near a year, that, you know, the really, I'm trying to think of some of the ones he has given me names of, you know, that, and they're hardcore conspiracy type of websites. But to absolutely kill his Google account, now this is not his Gmail account, this is Google account, means that he won't have access to all sorts of things that are hooked up to Google.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Yeah. And then I had them absolutely stop me from posting something in my website, and it was a schedule, but it had the name of somebody who wrote a very explosive type of book. I know I'm not going to get into what it was, but, you know, so...
Don't say it.
So they're getting apparently much more, you know, trying to constrict, but I've also... heard from a reliable source that the internet itself is secure. That no matter what happens, that is secure. They're not going to let it go down. And that makes sense because Trump's trying to, and Q,
are trying to keep
us all informed based on the internet. So the fact that they're confident that the internet will stay safe.
Nona says, it's Google Plus. The same email came to me.
What's Google Plus?
I don't know. I didn't know there was a difference.
Well, I got the same email, and Google Plus is like, I think they're just discontinuing because maybe nobody uses it, but it's kind of like, quote unquote, like a Facebook. You could social media, and like you had friends on there. And you could post things. I just think they're getting rid of it because nobody really uses it.
Well, that's really good to know because he was all freaked out, and I'm going, I don't know anything about it, you know. And I couldn't imagine that would happen, but that makes sense that they're at, because you know he's not really computer smart, so he's an old fart like me. So,
like me.
Well, yeah, you're even older than I am. So, but yeah, so that makes sense. So I'm glad we're having this conversation so that other people that may have gotten that same thing, and I'll be able to tell them, don't worry about it. You didn't use it anyway. it's nothing you're going to miss. You didn't know you had it.
When I got it, I didn't freak out. I was like, oh, that's probably because nobody ever posts anything. Because you had to go literally to a special thing to see everybody's posts. It was trying to be like the new Facebook, but it just never took off.
Whoa.
You there?
Okay.
What's that?
I don't know. Oh, I'm in the wrong
Are you
spot.
There, Christia?
Yeah, but I couldn't hear nobody. It was weird.
Huh.
That was a weird noise.
Very weird. Okay, we're all good, though.
I don't know. I haven't heard from Lee, have you?
Oh, Lee. I forgot.
I'm muted and behaving myself.
I forgot she was here. Sorry, Lee.
Bring her in and then forget about it.
Well, you know, I mean, hey, listen. I've been partying with my friends, so what can I tell you?
I can tell you I'm jealous because my weekend would have been last weekend.
Yeah, you come down. Yep, I know. But didn't happen.
Didn't happen this time.
Well, you couldn't go back there anyway because the cats live there now. I mean,
Wait,
they live there. They're not going nowhere, honey. I had Jean Rockefeller. I said, Jean, I need you to do something for me. And she says, okay. I said, I need you to connect with Mama Cat. And Jean says, yeah, okay. And I said, should I let the little ones out? And she screamed at me. Jean screamed at me, don't let those out. I went, well, okay, I won't. So they're in there. They ain't going any place. Oh, they got their catio. They're perfectly happy.
This woman that said to me, I'll never have another cat. And then she saw the little kitties, and I thought, oh, yeah, she's adopting those cats.
They may have to learn to share.
Oh, I can just see you in a room full of cats. Yeah, I can see this one. A dog.
You never know. Stranger things have happened.
The dogs would be one thing, but cats, I'm not so sure of. Well, the good thing is that two of them won't get near you.
because they
don't get near me. And, you know, then Mama Cat, well, she's fierce. She, because Betsy and Peter are here, we went to see the cats in their catio. It just so happens the dog was behind me and I was the first one. That Mama Cat saw that dog and she charged at him. Now she's in a cage, but that little dog, boy, he's a big dog. He turned and ran like he was, you know, being attacked. And I said, she can't get to you, you know. And I don't care. And he was out of there. So, you know, I don't think there's going to be a problem that way because Mama Cat is fearless.
Wow.
And then Drew, the boy, right? I'm watching him, and he sees Mama just, you know, going up against this big dog, and I can see what happens, and all of a sudden he runs up there like, is this what we're supposed to be doing, you know? And he got, like, kind of confused. And the other two, they were hiding. I ain't getting near this. I don't know. Let's get out of here. Hide.
I can just picture all this in my mind.
Oh dear. Yeah. And so I finally get them. I have four kitty litters. And I finally decide, okay, they're big now. They're getting bigger. They're going to be big. They're going to be bigger than Mama. And so I said, okay, I got to get them a new kitty litter. So I get two new kitty litters right in there. They weren't even in there overnight when I go in there, and somehow or another, they flipped one of those suckers right over.
Oh,
thank
my
you.
Gosh.
Thank you for that. You know, and I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. But if that's the only thing they do, you know.
So I put the thing from Mona in there, so you'll have that to refer back to.
Oh, okay.
Because that's another message they're getting.
From them guys?
No, from in the chat room.
This is what it says. Warren does not appear to make sense. Please try to write more. That's what they're saying?
Yeah, wow, that's one of the things they're saying.
This is Chattanooga doing this. This is not me. I'm wondering what's happened with that. I'm going to get rid of that chat. I'm going to find something else. I'm not liking what this chat's doing. I mean, this is insane. LOL, and they block somebody?
Telling you what to say.
No. I'll have to do this too. Oy, oy, oy. And you know what else I'm thinking of doing?
What?
I'm thinking of starting a new show.
Oh, you don't have enough already, huh?
Well, apparently not.
This new one be?
It's going to be entitled Radio 5G.
Radio 5G?
Yeah, you know, like Radio America? You know how they used to have Radio America that would beam American and Western information into the Soviet Union that helped, you know, take down the Warsaw Pact?
No. I know nothing about that.
You don't know about that? Well, yeah. Anyway, because what I want to do is I want to somehow or another get people to... You see, the only way that we're going to really stop this is through organization, the 5G. And I'm pretty certain that in every state there is somebody that understands the problem is trying to organize. And what I want to be able to do is to locate those people so that I can bring them on a radio, you know, show, an hour show, so that they can say to people, look it, I've just put together this little organization in Georgia, and we want to do this. And this is how you get a hold of us, you know, so that we start making it a place where people can find out about what's happening in their own neighborhoods. You know, so anyway, that's what I'm thinking of doing.
Oh, I like the thought of it, yeah.
Well, because it's getting, we're running out of time.
Yeah, we are.
So.
Oh, I didn't tell you what I did.
What you did? Uh-oh.
I know, it was pretty risque. I watch OAN TV, and on that they have this program called The Ledger. And Graham Ledger is the man who is the ledger, the talker, the host. And so he does the controversial news that the other mainstream media won't do. So I wrote to him because I was so upset about 5G, and I went and found a site where it explains how 5G gives you cancer, makes you sick, kills you. And I included that site in my email, and I said, I know the Prez listens to your program. Would you please have your people check into 5G and its deadly effects? And here is a site you can start with. And I sent it to him. So we'll see if he pays any attention to it.
Very interesting. Lee, tell him the story about your neighborhood.
Well, interestingly enough, after we were on the air the last time, I went back and there were a whole lot more posts on there. And one of the people that was speaking out against 5G had tagged a lot of additional information onto it. It's a thing. I talked to you about that when I was down there before, about something called Next Door Neighbor. And it's an email group that is set up pretty much, I guess, all over the country now. But it's set up for neighborhoods to join, individuals in the neighborhoods join up, and then neighborhoods that are around it are kind of linked to that. And you can basically choose whether you want to just deal with your neighborhood or the other neighborhoods. And people post things all the time about found dogs, missing dogs, things for sale, things for free. Instead of just throwing things out, a lot of times they'll post it on there, like refrigerators or whatever. And then when there's elections, of course, there's a lot of that crap on there. And then just things of interest. And someone had posted that they posted a picture of all these little boxes on a telephone pole, I think it was. And they asked, what did people think that this was, or did anyone know what these were? And someone popped up very quickly and said, yeah, those are 5G boxes, and you'll see them everywhere if you're looking for them. And so, as I said, Atlanta's already getting primed for it. And I said, when I went back and looked at the post again, there were quite a number of additional posts. And intriguingly, as usual, there were folks that were about this must not be and what can we do and all of that. And then there were folks who were, oh, conspiracy theories, oh, everybody thinks, and, you know, other folks. I mean, it's the whole spectrum of people will, you know, make responses to things. And some were saying, what can we do? And others are saying, oh, the sky is falling, put on your aluminum hat. Interesting to see the mix of responses. And I suspect that that's true across the board on it. There are folks that are just not going to believe, and other folks who very clearly say, you know, it's the almighty dollar, and they're jamming it through no matter what we do. Now, there was the thing about AT&T is being sued by Sprint. Nancy, did you bring that, or did I read that in that?
No, well, you might have read it, but yes, that's true.
I've seen that. I've seen a lot of that in different areas on the internet, Lee. I'm glad you mentioned it.
Well, the thing that is so, you know, I keep saying that they're self-destructing, the dark side self-destructing, okay? So the story was that there's nothing different from 4G to 5G except that 5G is going to make everything wonderful and you're going to have the Internet of Things and it's just 5G. Now, 4G was an upgrade to the technical system of 3G. 3G was a technical improvement on the same system of 2G. But when you go from 4G to what they're calling 5G, it's not even the same system. The 5G was developed by weapons developers in order for population control. That's what 5G is all about. So it's to believe that this is a weapon system that your government and the telecommunications system is putting in to control you is really, I mean, how can you possibly grasp that? So I was on explaining to people this story about it, and somebody attacked me on it. And they said, well, what happened was that this listener had tried to tell her son, who works in the industry, about what I had said about the, you know, the death march of 5G. And so he said, well, that's just BS. And then he said, and she probably was never in the military. You know, who is she? She's got to prove who she is,
this
right?
Is funny.
So
yeah.
I wrote back the woman and I said, look, I said, why don't you say to him, dude, if you're so sure that 5G is safe, then would you please, so I will know it's safe and I'll feel better, I want you to go out and show me a bona fide report that 5G is safe, that has not been funded by the telecommunications network or the U.S. Army. Would you please do that for me? And then the conversation is done. And in fact, if somebody can show that to me, I will pack up my tent and disappear. But you will never find it because it doesn't exist. So when somebody challenges anybody out there on what you're saying, turn it around and say, you prove to me your position because I've got 10,000 reports on the dangers of EMF/Wi-Fi 4G. Never mind the hundreds and hundreds of reports that are now coming out on 5G, how 5G is going to kill you faster. You know, so just turn it around. Make them show you. And they won't be able to, but at least you...
So did you ever hear back?
No, because there is no coming back. There is no documentation that they can possibly reach out to. In fact, the telecommunications system said, the guy that's the head of it, he said, I'm not going to wait to see if it's safe. I'm going to put it out now so we will be ahead of everybody else in the world. Well, that's BS. China's already got it in.
Oh.
And you got a bunch of zombies walking around in China.
Now, how do you know that?
Max Egan.
Oh, who's he?
Max Egan is one of the paramount scientific conspiracy people. He was the one that I agree with him. He agreed with me because I'd come to it really fast. Was that as awful as 5G is, it's like this line in the sand. If you guys don't get together and stop 5G, it's all over. Period. But he said, let's not look at it as a threat to our existence. Let's look at it as an opportunity to come together to stop a threat against us. And I agree with that.
So he turned a negative positive. I love
right.
it.
He did, what he did was he went in and I believe that, in fact, he was in China. I mean, the man is, excuse me, worldwide traveled. But what happened in China was that when they got the system in, and it goes hand in hand with a few things. All right, you've got a system in that now the Internet of Things, okay, tracks everything. Every person, you know, you walk into a store, they know what things you've looked at. They know what you bought. I mean, they know everything. This is what this technology can do. So what in China, what's happened is that People, if they do something, if they go someplace, if they, okay, let's say you get a black mark against you. I forget what they call it, but you are no longer in the system. They have eradicated you from the system, and they can do that by making a change in the zeros and ones, you know, and all of a sudden you don't exist. You can't work, you have no bank account, you can't even buy groceries because you need to be part of the system to do it. You are non-gratitude in the community, and therefore it ceased to exist within the structure. All right, this is already in place in China. And so let's say that I get into that situation and we have this conversation. Because we had this conversation, you guys are now on the list. And that's how
I saw that somewhere. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's already happened. And I forget the details. It's been, you know, I heard him early last year talking about what had happened in China and what was about to happen here. And all of the, this is the other ironic thing, right? I'm telling you without hesitation and, you know, 45 years of looking at this thing, that the 5G is designed to control the population. Okay? Well, the equipment that's being built to make the 5G system is being made by China. Okay, so I'm the boss here in the United States, right? And I say, oh yeah, let's get these people all in control. Oh well, we can get this stuff from China, all right? So we put it all in place, and guess what? There's a sub-program in the Chinese system, and all of a sudden, you no longer belong to the dude that wanted you controlled. You belong, as does he, to the Chinese. You know what I'm saying?
Well, this goes to my conspiracy theory about China, because of, you know, they secretly have been buying all, like, our national parks, all the mines. Like, back in the late 90s, they were buying up all the, like, mineral mines. Didn't matter where it was on the planet, China was buying it. Like, they own all the Chrysocolla mines, they all own the chrysoprase mines, and they own some of our national parks and forests. They've bought them. They've bought America.
They went even further, because when I was in the grenade launching business, I was the office manager. I was also the person that did all the vending, buying and selling and stuff. You know, I'm buying it. And I'm trying to buy, they're called pins. They're just part of the manufacturing. It's just a straight pin that you put between two things, and then you blunt the tips of each side so it holds it. You've seen it in everything that you probably is mechanical, okay? A very, very common, very critical part to small manufacturing. And I'm talking to the company in Connecticut that actually makes these pins for me and has for 10 years. And the guy I'm talking to says, Nancy, do you have the ability to get these from any other source? And I said, no, I've dealt, and they're the manufacturer. I said, no, I've always dealt with you guys. And they said, and this was, I mean, I was shocked. He says, I'm going to tell you the truth. He says, the Chinese have bought up all the raw materials. We don't have the raw materials to make these anymore. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I believe it.
A very fundamental part. Okay, so I'm like reeling. I'm going like, what? This is crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, but let me tell you, it gets better. It gets better. Because then I'm, a little bit after this, I'm trying to buy aluminum that we need to build our grenade launchers, right? And I'm dealing with a company that I have dealt with for, again, 10 years, and the company before me for another pretty near 20 years. Okay, so it's a company that we've been dealing with. They had been bought out by the Chinese, and they were limiting our ability to buy the stuff we wanted. This was back in the 2000 time frame. So, you know, I mean, the fact that the Chinese have got control over the United, well, this is the other thing, is that this concept that Hillary Clinton is a traitor to the country is not because she sold out in the Uranium One fiasco the ability to produce the uranium, the ore that you need to make uranium, to the Russians, it's that she's been working with the Chinese government. That's what they found out. That she's been working for the Chinese the whole time, even when Bill was president. It's like one of the deepest, darkest, are you kidding me? You know, in my understanding, a lot of this is coming from some of the information given to President Trump by Putin when they met in, I think it was Helsinki. Because you know, everybody was kind of ready for a lot of things to happen right before the recent elections, okay? And all of a sudden, everything sort of came to a halt. But the reason it came to a halt was when Trump met face to face with Putin. Putin handed him a bunch of thumb things, whatever, you know, these big things that hold things. What do you call those things? Discs. And on the discs was decades of actual raw intercept of people of interest, like the entire higher echelon of the United States government and corporate and financial institutions. Everything they had emailed, everything they had said over a telephone, the raw data. Then associated with this was another file, another number of disks, because it was extreme amount of data, you know, tetra, whatever that thing is, of data. And though that other, the thing that they sent with it was a compilation of all of these things that were then compiled under subjects and indexed. So it was like a shortcut to understand what had really happened. And the only reason that the Russians gave the raw data was to prove that they hadn't mucked with the overall, you know, document, the summary document that said, and then the Chinese and the Clinton Foundation and these people all got together on this date, and this was a conversation. Oh yeah, I'm going to give you this for that. And that's what held everything back, because they had so much more evidence to be able to try these people that there could be no question of their guilt. That's the latest update on my intelligence briefing.
Holy shit. Well, Mona says, she said the big F word in all caps. Will that be able to be posted? We are doomed. Agenda 21 come to mind?
It's a system. It's a system.
But no X's. Let her swear. No X's.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. Really,
you're talking about chat. Chat letter square, but they wouldn't let somebody say LOL. There's somebody mucking with chat.
But anyway, what Mona said, what does that mean? What is Agenda 21? And is she talking about if you post this show on the internet, will something bad happen?
Well, only because you guys are talking about Agenda 21.
Oh, shit. I mean, oh, gee.
you know, see, and I've said this before, because because they're tightening the reins or noose around our necks, I post fewer and fewer YouTubes, because every time we get a little edgy, I don't want any excuse.
Yeah.
You know? And but we're already over the edge, so not to worry.
Well, this one won't get posted.
This will not get posted to YouTube.
Yeah.
It's in our archives. You know, it's in our archives.
So if the listeners want to hear the real risque ones or the real dangerous ones to listen to, they have to go to the archive,
that's
not
right.
YouTube.
That's right. That's right. I try to do the ones that don't sound real crazy. Put them up on YouTube. It's a little crazy, not real crazy. Yeah, and Cosmic Reality Radio Show I hardly ever put up on YouTube, because, as one of my greatest supporters said, well, Hour one was great, but hour two was kind of lame.
Well, they don't have to listen to it.
Well, it's the Fulford thing, you know? And I find I like to put Ben up because I'm, even though we put him up, I'm firmly I'm fully convinced that he provides a lot of disinformation.
Really?
I don't think he knows it's disinformation. Yes. But you remember the last time we were talking about it on Tuesday's show?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I found out some things that I will tell you off air. This is so, you know, insider. I'll tell you off air, but it was another disinformation thing. And I that's fine because, Q says disinformation is necessary. When you actually have a situation where he's talking about a given subject, to me, it's a tip off. Oh, now this is happening. Not necessarily the way he said it, but it's a tip off. And this is the way I'm as trained as an intelligence officer. These are the things you look at. You know, what are they talking about? Not what exactly are they saying, but why are they talking about it now? Well, what's happening? You know, and you look behind the scenes. And so it's like a flag. Here, look over here. Look at this subject.
Uh-huh.
You know, which I did, and then I found out, you know, something. So,
wow.
Yeah, but I can understand why people find Fulford annoying. But I find it amusing and informative. And besides, what else are we going to talk about for 2 hours?
Well, last week, Fulford was kind of boring, I have to admit.
Yeah, but we weren't in the first hour. That was a good one on the curly in photography. Oh, yes. Oh, Christia. I don't know, Lee, you might not even know this. This is such a great story. So I was approached by some Russian scientists, and one of these people is Sophia Blanc, who is internationally renowned for her work in curly in photography. And they sent us some, it was actually like a document out of a book, but it had photographs of shungite taken in Carillion photography of shungite. Astounding. You know, the energy field that associated with the shungite was amazing. And
that's what you had posted in the chat earlier in the day. If Christia didn't see it, you had the picture of the bracelet and the
right.
Pyramids. And, yeah, that was pretty fascinating. I was glad you had posted it that way so I could look at it while y'all were talking about it earlier in the day.
Oh, that's right. I played that show earlier. But that was just fascinating because what it did was I said that I didn't say it. Walt's always saying I said it. It was the guy, he was talking to my guides, they said it, that you need to have three fields to get coherency, and that when you get coherency, you're going to see that the fields stop being singular fields and come together in one. And it was in the Carillion photography. But it took Walt to point that out to me. I'd looked at it, I was like, oh yeah, this is really cool, but Walt goes, oh, and look at this, and look at that, and I'm going like, oh wow. A lot of the science that we talk about, you know, was proven by those photographs. Very exciting. Very exciting.
That's amazing. Wow.
The picture was very helpful and to look at. I would love to make a copy of that to have with the shungite when I do the event in April. I'll have to figure that. I guess maybe a right click will get me there.
I'll send you the stuff.
Okay, very cool.
Because it is. It's well, you know, you also could put it on your tablet or whatever. You don't need to have a photograph there. You can put the picture up and you can say, and this is this, and this is this. Yeah. But you don't like tech. I don't blame you. I don't either.
Oh, tech is fine. I don't like handing my tablet to people because.
Oh, well, that's true, too. No, I would have set it up so they couldn't touch it. Don't touch my stuff. Here's some safe sanity wipes or whatever those things are called. I'll put those out, too.
Sanity wipes. I need a whole bunch of those sanity wipes.
I'm glad you picked that up.
It took me a minute because I thought that doesn't sound right, and then I figured it out.
Well, you know, if you're afraid of germs, right? Things keep you sane. you think you've cured yourself of germs because you just used them. You know, another fallacy of life. You think you catch germs. You're creators of your own reality. You create the germs.
Whatever.
You think of them and there they are, stalking you.
Like I want to think of a germ to attack me.
And the other thing that happened, Christy, is I ended up on Russian internet television.
Yeah, she did.
Wow.
And they were speaking Russian. I have no idea what was said except when they would ask me a question. And then I would try. I dumbed it down because I didn't know what the translator knew, you know. And so I tried to really keep it simple. But I have no idea what she might have said to the audience, you know. I mean, and this is the way you make cookies, you know. You take. I mean, she could have given. I don't know what she said. So it was. It was the strangest thing. It was so funny.
Wow.
Walt said, "I look like a. What do you say, Dolly? I look like a schoolgirl on my first day of school."
Yeah, something like that. It cracked me up. She was kind of shutting her eyes and looking like she was falling asleep through part of it, and she. I think she forgot she was on TV there.
Well, no, they see these video things. When somebody talks, it's supposed to, the camera's supposed to look at them. Okay, but the last two shows I've been on, they've kept the camera on me the whole time. Now, thankfully, I was a little paranoid that they might look at me when I wasn't wanting them to. So I was being very, very careful. And the first time I go out, you know, I mean, Dolly critiques me, and she's not, she doesn't hold her punches. You use your hands too much. Keep your hands down.
No, I said it gently. I said, you might want to consider not flopping your hands around.
It was a little nut, you know. My version more than your. Anyway, she was right. She was right. So in this case, I sort of like sat there and tried not to move. And I think that's why Walt got this kind of like, image of me just sitting there like, you know, a petrified kid in the first day of classes. Oh, and then because I think, I mean, I'm seeing on my screen as it's happening that there are different people. You know, when Sophia was talking, her face was up. When the other guy was talking, he was up. And then when the translator was talking, there was a microphone. She didn't want anybody looking at her. So she was just using a microphone. So for all I knew, they were, you know, switching back and forth. So then I realized, and Sophia realized, that we could actually see each other in the little snapshots they had down at the bottom of the screen, right? And so she starts waving at me, you know? And so I start waving back at her, you know? And then I'm giving her the thumbs up. Yeah, because I'm thinking that nobody's seeing us do this, right? And then I realized, oh my God, yeah, everybody's seeing me do all these, making these faces and stuff because I was just saying hi to Sophia.
My God.
So that was an interesting, excursion. But I love these people. Oh my God. I mean, as a matter of fact, on Monday, Irma, who is the translator for Sophia, is coming here. She actually had planned a vacation, and she's only 3 miles away. So she's going to come over here, and we're going to do a conference call so that we can she'll be right here, and I, you know, she can translate from between the two of us.
Which will you be mean fun. You're going to be back on the TV again?
No, no. This is just a private conversation between Sophia and and me, basically. But she's going to be here to translate.
Well, how cool is that?
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm curious. You did a good job on the Russian interview. Did you get any orders from Russian people?
Oh, I have no idea.
And I was busy telling Russell about that interview, and they were in Russia, and he says, well, where does Shanghai come from? I said, in Russia. And then I got to thinking, well, can't they get their own Shanghai right there in Russia?
Well, yes, you can, but you can't get our products from anywhere except us. The all the different stickers, the magnets. I mean, you got other people that are copying us. Yeah, you know, but to get the original, you know, what's S4? Silver saturated shungite by Silva.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, when you're dealing with shungite, you're dealing with magic. What's magic? Manipulation of energy. And Walt is a master manipulator.
He is.
I love that guy. He's really something else.
And he was being so naughty when we were on the last time. I couldn't believe it.
Well, see, I know that he doesn't listen to this show. So I can, I can talk about him on this show. He doesn't listen to this. I don't think he listens to any of them. The only one he seems to remember is the one he was on because he was there. we're keeping him busy. So, Christia, oh my gosh, we've only got 8 minutes. What can we do for you? How would you like to, I don't know if you feel like doing any kind of energy thingy. Do you? Would it be good for you?
This week I spontaneously channeled the unicorn. I don't know if you saw my message of light, but I spontaneously channeled the universe, or unicorns. I brought through sound, and then they just, like, popped in. I'd have to go back and watch the video to see what they said. But I think they were talking about energy and magic and... I think they called themselves the Rainbow Unicorns. But I want to say tomorrow I'm teaching a 4-week class starting tomorrow evening, live video class. It'll be recorded. Manifest what you want. I'm so excited because I'm taking all these different parts and putting them together. And because a lot of people, you know, they struggle with that. They struggle with being stuck in the 3D. So combining, you know, spirit and some practical tools, and you all know how to manifest. So, but I'm really excited about it. So that starts tomorrow.
Now, how do they get a hold of you?
Oh, my website, ChristiaCummings.com. As soon as you click on the homepage, it's right there, and then you can read about it. And then there's it'll say click here. And you click there, and it'll take you right to the Learn It Live page. And it's a 4-week class at 8 p.m. on Sunday evenings, Eastern Standard Time. And I did pull an angel card for us today, and I got kindness. And to me, it's about, you know, kindness starts at home, being kind towards yourself. You know, depending on who you live with, sometimes you can be irritated at those people and maybe you lash out at those people because it's safe zone. But I think it's important to be kind, not only to yourself, but the people you live with, and let that ripple out. And if you're feeling, you know, we had a full moon Tuesday. It was a super moon. And, you know, even though the moon is a satellite, artificial, the Death Star, it still does affect the waves. It still affects us energetically, good or bad or whatever you want to call it. It does affect us. It might affect you emotionally because that's what it rules. So getting a handle on that. And what else? But I'm happy to do. Do you want me to bring through some sound? I can.
Yes, well, that's a silly question.
Yeah, if you feel up to it, please.
Yeah.
I vote yes.
Okay, well, it's so healing for me, so I'd be happy to do so.
Cool.
All right, so here we go. Tonight, people, I feel like the sounds that came through were to help people that may be shocked by the things you say begin to open up.
The things I say.
Well.
By how? What do you mean?
You know. When you push people's buttons and, you know, when you push into the reality, you know, what they believe to be real into their own holographic universe, it pushes people's buttons and they resist. But we know, what does the Borg say? Resistance is futile. You will be a simulation.
Right.
You will be assimilated into my reality. Sooner or later, don't resist. If you get on board at the beginning, you get a good seat.
Resistance is futile.
I hate those Borg.
I'm just think it's funny that we came back around to it.
And this week in Oak Island, they showed some of the paranormal stuff that happens around the island.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, poor Rick, man. Last week, you know, when they, not this past week, because they just did, like, kind of digging deeper thing, but the week before, when they discovered the rubber pipe in the cement, and he's, like, sitting there, poor guy, he looks like so downtrodden, like, oh my God, another thing I can't explain. I felt sorry for him. He just kind of looked beaten down.
I think he has looked kind of sickly the whole season this time. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I thought you said he looked better. Are you talking? Who are you talking about?
Rick.
I thought you said he looked better when we started out.
He does look better than he did last year at the end when he had that Lyme disease.
Right.
But he still, to me,
is looking a little rough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's getting over it.
I know we're running out of time, but I want to leave you with this. If you watch it on demand, the icon that used to be a shovel, like a gold shovel, and it was a black and gold icon, and now it's the picture of the island blowing up with a skull over it. What is up with that?
What?
Oh,
where'd
yeah,
you see this?
Yeah, on Oak Island. They've changed yes, I noticed that.
Okay.
But I didn't focus on it. I'm going like, well, oh, wow.
So it gets my conspiracy theory like pinged. My conspiracy theory thing is ping, ping, ping. Because to me, if it really is the Ark of the Covenant there, and it really is a nuclear extraterrestrial device, and they hit it, it could blow up.
Do, 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 do,
yeah,
do,
really.
Do.
I'm sitting here and not having. I can't talk.
and please wait for the next episode of Do, 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 Do. Love you guys. Be safe. Thank you, Lee, for coming on. Christia, always just a blessing. And Dolly, I'm going to see you Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah. If not sooner.
Well, yes, maybe.
Yeah.
And
you got to see me sooner. I mean, you gave me this thing. I have you. We will be talking.
All right. Everybody, thank you so very much. Be safe. Be blessed. And Dolly?
Huh? Love you all. Bye-bye.
Say what? Say What Radio Show. With no agenda. It's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong.